The bedrock of the American Republic includes safe and secure and honest elections. How can we have widespread dishonesty at the polls and still maintain our freedoms? Bob Knight is a veteran journalist, and he has written some books for D. James Kennedy Ministries as well as other sources, but he's written specifically on the importance of voter security. For example, in his book Crooked, Knight comments, quote, "People need to know that their vote counts. That's why election integrity is so important, but they can't wait for the perfect election. They have to go out and vote. Their vote could be one of the determinants about whether a conservative takes office or a liberal takes office." This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Bob Knight joins us now. Bob, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Always good to talk to you, Jerry. Thanks for having me on.
It seems like when you and I talk, a lot of times invariably the conversation gets back to the issue of voter integrity. But I see this as an issue that has not been solved, and it's very vexing because we could easily lose our country. I mean, it's almost like every week that goes by, some people are trying to make us effectively into a banana republic.
Well, I don't think you're exaggerating, Jerry. In 2020 in particular, the Democrats, and I'll just name them, it's the Democrats who are doing this, used the COVID pandemic to loosen lots of election integrity laws. They illegally changed the counting deadlines in several states like Pennsylvania. The Constitution for each of these states says that only the legislature may change how and when you vote. So when a court does it unilaterally, or even an election commission does it without the legislature acting, they're acting illegally. That was one of the charges that the people challenging the presidential election in 2020 tried to bring forward to Congress. And the Supreme Court was asked about it, and they refused to hear the case, saying they didn't have jurisdiction, which was absurd, given that they adjudicate disputes between the states. 17 states, led by Texas, said it's diluting our vote if you let these other states do illegal things and mess with the vote. The other thing they did was loosen balloting requirements. You know, in years past, you had to request an absentee ballot. In 2020, they just used some very old and discredited registration lists to mail out millions of ballots. There's no surer recipe for vote fraud than having lots of ballots out there. In the 2005 Presidential Commission on Election Integrity, chaired by Jimmy Carter, a Democrat, James Baker, a Republican, they said the easiest way to commit vote fraud is through mail-in balloting. So what happened in 2020? They made it very easy. They got rid of voter ID laws, and they allowed ballot harvesting in a number of states. That's when people who weren't even related to you could just collect your ballot and turn it in on your behalf. Well, that is – do I have to spell out how many ways that can be abused?
Well, I understand recently President Trump, former President Trump, said something to the effect of, okay, look, we have to play by the same rules that they're playing by, otherwise we'll never get caught up, so let's use ballot harvesting. But maybe I misunderstood him, because he often gets misquoted.
No, I think you were exactly right. He did say that. He said, well, look, if we can't get rid of ballot harvesting, we should take advantage of it the way the other party is. Which sounds like a reasonable thing to me. The only thing that concerns me is that we have such early voting now. You can vote a month in advance in many places. We have voting month now, not election day, which is, to me, violating our constitutional principles for one man, one vote, because it just invites vote fraud. And I happen to think that there are times that the people who control the vote in major cities who don't have a lot of scrutiny on them wait to see how many votes they need, and then they manufacture them in order to win. I think that happened in a number of battleground states in 2020. You know, Jerry, that the voting mysteriously stopped in something like six states overnight when Trump was leading in all of them, including Pennsylvania and Michigan, Arizona, let's see, what were the other ones? Wisconsin.
New Mexico.
Yeah, just mysteriously stopped Nevada. Counting, and in the morning, Biden was way ahead. It makes no sense at all.
Well, you know, I don't want to relive the 2020 election, and yet it does seem, I mean, obviously some bad things were done there, and it's very disconcerting. It's like we are losing our country, and it seems almost like we're powerless to stop this.
I know a lot of people are asking me, says, well, okay, if the elections are no longer the answer and the media are controlled by people who don't share our values, what do we do? My answer is always the same. Keep fighting. Get involved on the local level. You know, the school boards and county commissioner seats are the farm teams for Congress, for the House of Representatives and the Senate. So every office counts. And all too often, we haven't paid attention to the procedures that govern the voting process. And indeed, Christian Adams, a friend of mine who I worked with on the American Civil Rights Union, which is now the American Constitutional Rights Union, said that while conservatives have done a great job articulating policy positions, the left has been busy rigging the procedural side of things, you know, rigging the vote, basically. And I tell you what, Jerry, I am a journalist, and I saw lots of pieces of evidence that seemed to imply that the 2020 election was not up to speed. And I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll gather it all in one place. I will document it heavily, and I'll try to make it easy for people to understand, and then they can make up their own minds. And I don't know anybody who's read my book, Crooked, and come away thinking this was a fair election. There are just too many things chronicled in there, like the 18 of 19 bellwether counties going for Trump, and still Biden allegedly won. All the bellwether states, Iowa, North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, since 1896, they've had a perfect record of predicting the winner. If all those states go for a particular candidate, he or she wins the election. In this case, it's always a he. We're talking about presidential politics up till now. There are many other anomalies, and I list them all in my book. Now, the good news is a lot of states have moved to tighten election security. They're reducing the early voting. They're tightening ID requirements. You know, one of the dumbest arguments the left makes is that voter ID is racist. And it's only the form of fundamental voter security in every other nation on earth. Every other nation requires voter ID. We require it for so many things that why wouldn't we require it for voting? And yet we're told that if you have it, then you're somehow a racist. And I think that's racist in and of itself because it says, oh, minorities aren't smart enough to get an ID to vote. And I don't believe that for a minute.
Yeah, you're totally right. You say that some of these states have gotten their act together and they've you know, been a little, you know, more strict or whatever. They passed some sort of voter integrity acts. And by the way, have been called, you know, racist for doing so, such as Georgia and so forth. But yep. So let me ask you this. The 2022 elections were disappointing for conservatives, but we did get the House.
Yeah, that, you know, that's not to be underestimated. We were upset that it wasn't a bigger margin of conservatives and that the Senate remained in the hands of the left. But I think two things happened. President Biden bribed millions of young voters with the idea that they wouldn't have to pay off their college tuition. He probably knew full well that it was unconstitutional and would be struck down at some point, which it has by federal courts. But that got a lot of the young vote out and went heavily for Democrats in 2022. The other thing was the abortion issue. The election was the first after Roe v. Wade was overturned. And because the media is so pro-abortion, they painted a false picture that Republicans were the extremists on the abortion issue and Democrats were the moderates. It was precisely the opposite. Democrats have pushed for abortion right up through the last day of conception. I mean, right up to the point of birth. While Republicans have passed laws limiting abortion to a certain number of weeks, having parental notification laws, making sure there are hospital facilities available if something happens to the poor woman who's undergoing it. The Democrats call all of this anti-woman and extreme, but it worked. If you look at the tally, the Democrats did very well, especially among single women. And that's been the case in recent years anyway, because they bought into the idea that government is their big daddy. But married women tend to be more conservative. They tend to vote conservative because they realize, hey, I'm married, I've got a family, I don't want the government running my life. So there's quite a breakdown there, and that's one reason the left has discouraged the formation of marriage and families ever since the French Revolution. They don't like families. They really don't like God. It's a godless Marxist viewpoint that says God and family are the enemy. We want the state to be supreme, but it can't be unless we get rid of God and the family.
That is so true. Going back to the 2020 election, Bill Barr made some comments along the lines of, you know, hey, basically, you know, the results were accurate. And then also we see the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News for even dare to question the results. What are your comments on those two items?
Well, I read Bill Barr's comments, and all he said was he hadn't seen evidence up to that point when he was asked of enough vote fraud to substantially affect the outcome. Okay, he never said that there wasn't any vote fraud, but he said he hadn't been convinced by the evidence up to that point. I'd like him to read my book, frankly, and then ask him what he thinks. You know, what does he think of Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, pouring $400 million into two foundations that went into the battleground states, especially Wisconsin, and took over election offices? They did so under the pretext of assisting with COVID-affected elections, saying, oh, you poor election officials are under duress because, you know, COVID may reduce the turnout because people are afraid of being infected. So we will help you. So they came in and virtually took over the election offices and turned them into Democrat get-out-the-vote operations. I mean, it's shameful. It ought to be litigated. And some states have moved to this is one of those reforms I mentioned, Jerry. Some states have moved to make it illegal for private donors to participate in the election process of counting votes and maintaining registration lists and that sort of thing. Well, yeah, otherwise there's a huge conflict of interest. I wish all the states said, hey, only the government can do it because we need a neutral party to engage in electioneering, not a partisan group.
Okay, now we only have about 1 minute left. How about a quick comment about the Dominion and then just recap on why it's so important that we get voter integrity right?
Yeah, if we don't have fair elections, people lose faith in their institutions, and that leads quickly to anarchy. Say what you will about the January 6th Capitol riot. There were a lot of people there very upset that the Congress and the courts didn't really look at the evidence that had been compiled to indicate there were problems with the integrity of the process. As far as voting machines, I think the jury's still out. There were some academics back in 2017, and I quote them in my book, who said it's very easy for machines to be hacked, for machines to be preset to get a certain outcome. Don't think these voting machines are secure. So I think Christian Adams, the voting expert, said the best thing we can do is use paper ballots that you feed into one of these counting machines. That's probably the safest. It's still not foolproof, but it's better than these electronic voting machines that can be hacked.
All right. RobertHKnight.com for more information. Thank you so much, Bob, for being with us. All the best.
Oh, thank you, Jerry, for having me. God bless.